Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Eve.
Hey everyone, I'm Courtney Revolution.
I'm Savannah Palacio, and welcome to
The Homecoming.
Anyway, let's try that again.
Okay.
And welcome to
The Homecoming Queens.
Each week on The Homecoming Queens, we have one of our pals from the reality verse to tell us what it is like to step fresh off of their reality television show and have everyone know their name.
The full episode of Homecoming Queens is available on our Homecoming Queens YouTube channel, or you can listen to us on your favorite podcast app. Rate, review, and subscribe. You guys know what to do.
Today's guest is, knock, 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 us!
Us! Me!
We are going to give you guys a behind-the-scenes episode, pulling back the curtain of our experience on Floor is Lava. It is going to be a super fun and sassy behind-the-scenes kiki that you will definitely enjoy.
Yeah. All right. So let's get into it.
And I'm going to meet Marco
from a culprit. Tell Marco I say hi.
Don't leave Marco.
Tell Marco I say hi. Well, Courtney, how's everything been? Wow. Amazing. Sounds like a great time. I don't know if you guys saw, but I made a TikTok about my 3 seconds on the Floor is Lava.
I don't want to go into that puddle.
Just do a Lipa.
Savannah, obviously, the listeners, the viewers, they know us from The Circle. Mm-hmm. But that's not the only show that we have done together. Luckily and fortunately,
yes.
We've been able to, you know, continue working.
Right.
Because that's what you do when you're a good employee. Now, we did a show called, what you laughing at?
Nothing.
What you laughing at? Girl, we working girls. We the working
girls. We are
girl.
Working girls. We're great employees.
Yes, we are. We're some good ass employees with the Exposé podcast. Now.
You're silly.
We did a show for Netflix called Floor is Lava.
Yes, yes.
What was that experience like for you? Because I know what it was like for me.
Right.
I am a Nickelodeon game show ho. Like Double Dare 2000, Figure It Out, Nick
yes.
Arcade, like all the corny game shows. I've always wanted to be on it. Guts, Nickelodeon Guts. And so when I received the phone call that was like, would you maybe consider, it was like, yes.
Yeah.
Like, why would you call and ask me?
It was a no-brainer.
They could have called me and told me I was going to do it. And I would, yeah, girl, when?
They could have been like, it's $5 to play. I'd be like, here's 10. Here's 10.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
I have dreamt. I know that sounds so stupid, but I've always dreamt of doing a show like The Floor is Lava because it's just so fun. You know, like, there's no bullshit drama. There's no, like, producers going against you trying to make you look bad. There's no like BS. You're just going on for fun and pure entertainment. And so when I got the call, it was like, yes.
One more time. What was it?
I was like, yes. What time do I have to be there?
Okay, so let's explain to the viewers what the show is. So
yeah.
Basically, the short version is you're in a large room,
huge.
Teams of three, and the goal is to get from one side of the room to the other, but the rooms are themed. Ours was like a game room.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. So we had like a poker table, like a little DDR moment.
A foosball
in the middle, a dice roll. And you are to hop, skip, jump, climb, and slip your way to the other side. Now, you're supposed to grab an exit pass.
They like sprung it onto us last minute because in the first season, exit passes weren't a thing.
Yes.
And so last minute, they were like, okay, so you have to make it from the beginning to the end. Also, somewhere in the mix of all of that, there is an exit pass. You got to grab it. Good luck. Bye. Oh, and also,
y'all all have to take different paths.
Yeah.
Here's a map.
Yeah, the different paths thing, I was like, fuck, you know?
Because we all could have like figured out a cohesive way and just...
But we were all just so excited. I think you, me, and Jack were literally just so excited to be there. We didn't like think about it.
No.
There wasn't really like I remember I was like, okay, I think I kind of want the left one. And Jack was like, okay, maybe I could do the middle one. And then like,
I was like, what y'all want me to do?
You're like, what y'all want me to do? Like, I'll do whatever one you guys don't want. And then when we all got there, none of us stuck to what we said we were going to do. No. And it was kind of just like, fuck it. I mean, you say it's a large room. I say it's a huge room.
It was big.
Huge.
It's big. Bigger than it looks on TV.
So, right?
Yeah, way bigger than it looks on TV.
Oh my God. I had like a White House moment. You know, like when you see like photos of the White House, people think it's like this big grand thing.
Yeah.
But when you see it in person, it's like really small. It was like the opposite for me. Like I saw the floor is lava on TV. And you're like, I was like, oh yeah, I could do that. When you're there, bitch, there is so much lava on the ground. I'm worried about breaking like a tooth or something if I fall.
Savannah, going back to your point of like when you're watching it, you're like, oh, I could do that. Oh, I could do that. You watch like a show like Wipeout or something like that.
Yes.
Like Ninja Warrior. You're like, you're on the couch. Like, oh yes. Girl, I could do that. Girl.
No.
Peggy Sue, you might not be able to do it. You might not be able to do it because it's just way more intimidating in person than it is on TV. That jump is a little bit farther than you think it is at home, and all of the surfaces are slippery. You need like a work boot, like a food and beverage work boot to do floors lava.
No, you need to put, you know what I was thinking? I was like, why didn't we like put little grippies on the bottom of our shoes or something?
Crazy.
Some like Dr. Scholl's, like why, we didn't, we went into it unprepared.
Girl, I went into it with some Amazon fake Adidas moments. Yes, I did. Mm-hmm. And wondered why my ass slipped right off. Spoiler alert. If y'all haven't seen our episode of Floor is Lava, we lost. What they didn't show y'all was how my black ass fell into the lava. They gave me the best edit. Shout out to production. They really did.
I know. I was like,
I was gagged.
When I didn't see your fall, I was like, this bitch lucked out again. And you know what sucks? If I just waited at the front for like both of you to fall, I would have never
made
gone.
That jump.
Yeah, like because I was just like gonna wait until you went, and I was gonna try to take your path, but then the whole like needing to take a different route thing, I was like, I imagine what if I didn't leave, or what if I didn't do that, and they like you guys made it across, and like you know they're like, oh, Savannah didn't take the right route. Sorry, you guys are disqualified.
We still lost.
Yeah, you guys have been like, Sav, like, sorry, guys. But I didn't. I was a team player.
You are.
I knew when I was on the joystick, there's no way I can make this jump. Like, I looked back and I was like, maybe I could get a running start, but there was so much lava.
Yes.
Like, I didn't want to slip and fall on my face.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it wouldn't have been the worst thing. I knew why I was there. I was just trying to be funny, entertaining, silly.
Same.
And yeah, I was trying to make it across, but I mean, I was mainly trying to look cute.
Can I please explain to them the power of editing? So this is, I really need y'all to know this. And this is a good thing. It's because, y'all, I'm just going to say it. We were the fastest losing team in Flora's Lava history. They told
literally,
us.
Fastest
they
losing.
They told us. It was very embarrassing. But you know what? I hold my loser trophy up high. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you fell in.
Mm-hmm.
Jack hop, skipped, and jumped to wherever he was.
Literally fell in right after me because I remember I came up and like I was wiping the lava off my face and I opened my eyes and Jack is literally doing a scorpion into the lava.
So what they did was because there was so little footage, I imagine, of us.
Yeah.
What they did was you fell in, but at the same time Jack fell in. If you look behind him, I'm also about to jump.
Yeah.
And that's the moment that I fall. And then Jack falls. They like zoom in on Jack. Yeah. Jack falls in. I also fall in, but they cut back to me doing another reaction to you falling in.
Oh.
So one reaction was my queen. And then the other one was, no.
Oh, yeah. Because they also made me fall in again. They made me get up and they're like, can you redo the fall? And I'm literally soaked, okay, in this lava. Like...
You have, because you have to go under the lava. They have to get the shot of you.
Yeah, and you have to be like super dramatic. Under. So when I fell behind the dice, so you couldn't really see me. So like, can you do it again? But can you fall like a little to the right? I was like, yeah, sure, no problem. I'll just go back in.
So that was kind of like the power of editing. And here's a question, Savannah. How long did it take for you to get all of the lava off of your body?
I am still picking lava off of myself to this day.
They had showers on the set for us. We had a change of clothes, you know, have your little shoe moment.
Mm-hmm.
Literally the next day, I was pulling lava out of my ear.
Well, no. You have to tell them when you fall into the lava, there's like no door under the... First of all, that thing is like way too thick to like swim through.
Yes.
So what you guys don't see on TV is when someone falls in, they cut. If they need you to redo something, then they have you redo it. And then there's like a lifeguard person that is also in the lava. You just can't see them. And once you fall in, they swim to you and they grab you because you're like covered in this thick liquid type slime thing. So you can't really see. And if you're like me and you wear contacts, you don't want to open your eyes. You're going to get a sty. Mm. And so they bring you off to the side. They literally have you stand like in this crate thing. And it's so sad. They like hose you down with this cool nose. So you're just standing in there like this. And someone's like,
tsss. And they're like people come and like wipe you down. Squeegee you off. Cause it's that thick. The consistency is that of like, if you're a mosquito and someone takes the little bear of honey and they just squirt honey right on top of you.
Yes.
We were those mosquitoes. We were those skeeters. We were those skeeters.
Yeah. It's not as... it looks thick on TV too. So like, I think maybe if I just looked at it a little harder and like analyzed it, I would have maybe thought that it would be that thick, but it's just different when you get in it. You're like, oh wow, this is real something right here.
Do you think if we would have made it to the next round, which is like the huge volcano moment, we would have done anything productive? Seeing our
maybe,
skills.
I mean, obviously our... skills don't include jumping because you, me, and Jack all got out because we could not successfully land a jump.
Can I say, I think I would do so much better now.
I think I would do so much better now too.
I was out of shape a year ago. We filmed this a year ago.
I want to redo it. Like they don't even have to film it. They could just use me as a test dummy. Honestly. Like if they're building the course and they like need someone, like bring me. Like I'm obviously the biggest loser. Like I'll do it. So if I could do it, someone else can do it.
You are silly.
I don't care. I mean, I'll do it over and over again. I don't see like failing as like something to ever be sad about.
Mm.
You know, like I just think, for me, failing is just like, okay, well, I'm just going to get up and try again. Obviously, that way didn't work. I'm going to try 100 other ways until I get it.
Yeah.
I've always been like that. And I think it's because I competed in pageants for a long time.
Mm.
I've always met like really tenacious women in pageants, though.
So. What the hell is that like, Savannah?
Doing pageants?
Yeah. Is that why you're so poised effortlessly? Yeah.
I feel like growing up doing pageants, it helped me gain really good like interview skills.
Mm-hmm.
So I got really good at speaking to people and just like holding my own, you know? And that's part of the reason why I feel like the need to always like have my voice, you know, because I grew up being told that it was okay to use your voice, you know? And so, yeah, doing pageants is like difficult because when you go into a pageant, only one girl is going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And so every girl that's there knows that like you could be the best apple of the bunch, but they could just want an orange that day.
Yeah.
And on a different day with a different set of judges, the results could have been different.
Mm.
And so when you're competing with all these smart, beautiful, outgoing, well-spoken young women, you learn to not, you know, measure yourself up against them, but rather to like measure yourself up against yourself and to just like compete with yourself over and over again. I didn't win every pageant that I competed in. I actually lost more than I ever won, even though I did do very well in my career, but very tenacious women. I honestly have never met any like more, like all the hardworking, smart, like women with all this tenacity that I know have competed in pageants and they're so okay with losing, and they view failure in a different light than what other people who like don't compete in pageants.
Wow.
So yeah.
I wanted to ask you this just because it came to mind. I perceive you, speaking for myself, audience, I perceive you as being a girl's girl, I was discussing you yesterday, giving you the personal tea. I was discussing you yesterday, and that's how I described you. And the person I was discussing you with was like, yes, that is exactly what Savannah is like. She is a girl's girl.
1,000%
Would you say that being involved in the pageants and always being around these tenacious women attributed to that?
Absolutely. I mean, I grew up with brothers. Like, I was sandwiched between two boys. And so I always wanted, like, a sister. And then once I had my younger sister, you know, obviously, like, I love her and everything. But I still, no matter where I went, I always found myself wanting to be surrounded by other like-minded women. So even after I stopped competing in pageants and when I went to like college, I joined a sorority. I even went to like a all girls high school and stuff. And yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's definitely doing pageants has definitely contributed to that. But I think I've just always been like a girl's girl, you know? I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I think guys are great. I'm not like a man hater, you know? I'm a man
I was just thinking that. I was trying so hard. That's a man. My gay ass. That's a, ooh, that's a hit. That's a smash hit.
I love that song. Oh my God, no, we have to listen to it. But like, yeah, like I'm not a man hater. I don't think, I think you can be a girl's girl and still appreciate men, but I will always have a girl's back.
A really silly question.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of this show, but would you consider like a show like The Bachelor to kind of be like a pageant?
That's
with all of these different women, with all these different backgrounds, like all vying interviewing with this one judge. Like, that's like kind of how I look at it as.
You know, I could see like certain aspects of that kind of being like a pageant. Yeah, where it's crazy because I was just talking about this to Vanessa the other day. Miss California USA just happened. And I used to compete for the USA system. There's different systems within pageants. There's like Miss America, Miss Universe.
Miss USA?
Miss USA.
Kenya Moore.
Kenya Moore.
We have to have Kenya Moore in the podcast.
Oh my God, I would love to.
Kenya Moore, the queen. Kenya Moore, hair care. Sorry, we love Real Housewives here.
Yeah, no. We do. But so there's like different systems. Wait, what was I saying? My ADHD.
We were talking about.
Oh, The Bachelor. The Bachelor.
Yes, The Bachelor.
Yeah, so there's like different systems. So yeah, like it could be kind of like
a pageant,
like its own, like in its own way. But I don't know. I feel like it's also, how do I word this? Like, I feel like in on The Bachelor, it's kind of like, let me be a show monkey for this guy. You know, and I feel like with pageants, now that I'm not in it, it kind of, when I watch it as a viewer, it, I can see why people have negative feelings towards pageants. Because I've been out of the system for a couple years now. Even though I haven't aged out, I just decided that I'm done doing pageants. And I was talking to Vanessa about this, and when I was watching Miss California USA, it was just like odd to me, you know, like it was, even though I have been there and I loved it and I understand 1,000% how it can, like, what is it called? Empower women. I totally see that 1,000% and I believe it, but I can now being on this side of the stage, I can totally see why people have like negative feelings towards it and why I would feel like, you know, when I watch shows like The Bachelor and compare it to pageants, why I would feel like women putting themselves in that situation are kind of like show monkeys.
Yeah.
Because it's like, here I am.
Pick me. I'm the best.
Choose me.
Yeah.
And there's something kind of like a turnoff about that. Is there not? I don't know. What's your opinion on that? Have you ever seen a pageant?
I don't know.
Okay.
Not like sat down and been like, I'm going to a pageant. Or like if one was on TV, like I'm watching this pageant.
Yeah.
But when I think of like The Bachelor, I think of it sort of like, I guess in the way that you described it, like a whole bunch of women kind of like
showing up and showing out.
Yeah. It's like a show and tell, an hour and a half show and tell with produced dates and produced buffoonery behind the scenes sometimes. Allegedly.
I'm like trying not to lick the camera.
Yeah. Is it? Don't sue us. But interesting. I was just thinking about the parallels between like pageantry and reality TV because, I mean, to me, they're not too different.
Yeah.
When you go on TV, you're trying to show some side of yourself. Sometimes it's the best, sometimes it's the worst. In a pageant, you're trying to show the best side so that you can win the trophy.
Mm-hmm.
And children in pageants, yay or nay?
I think certain pageants, like earlier I was saying that there are different systems. I competed in pageants when I started competing when I was 7.
Mm.
That was the very first pageant I did. But I didn't do a toddlers and tiaras type pageant. I didn't wear any makeup. There was actually no makeup allowed unless you were over the age of 15.
Mm.
And there was like an interview portion for the pageant that I did. So the pageants that I competed in were called inner beauty pageants at that time in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Between like 7 and 15, I competed in a system called National American Miss.
Ooh.
And that system is incredible. Or was incredible when I competed in it. I don't know about now. It's been a long time since I've been 14. But there were several elements of competition. 30% was your interview. So as a 7-year-old, I was going into this giant conference room. There were 8 judges. Every judge had their own small table. And I spent 3 minutes talking with each judge at their table. They could ask me anything on my little resume.
Whoa.
And I would just have to talk to them one-on-one. No parents there to hold your hand.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was worth 30%. The second phase of competition was a evening gown competition. So you walked on stage with your little evening gown. And of course they had rules for the evening gown too. It couldn't be short and you know, all of that stuff.
Below that motherfucking knee.
Yeah. Yeah.
To the flow.
There was another one. Oh my God, wait.
No kitten heels.
No, no.
No kitties in here.
They wouldn't even allow you to wear like a clear gloss. Like it was like very like no. And then the another 30% was your onstage question.
Mm.
Is that how it went? Yes, your onstage question. And then the last 10%, everybody had to bring like a toy and a book. And if you brought a toy and a book, you got like the extra 10%. So that would make 100%. So the closest girl to getting like a perfect score would win.
Jesus.
And at my very first pageant, I placed second runner up, which is third place.
Ow.
It's the winner, first runner up, second runner up.
Ow.
And I was 7. And so now whenever I have never not gotten a job if it required an interview, an in-person interview. I feel like I can kill any interview.
It's the training.
Yeah. It's just when you're 7 and you're forced to talk to adults and carry a conversation, you can learn a lot about how to keep a conversation going and just how to talk to people.
And then your ass wound up on TV.
And yeah, a lot of pageant girls actually do. I know one of my friends, Charlie, she's on Vanderpump Rules. Mm-hmm. Shout out Charlie.
Hey, Charlie.
Love her. We competed in pageants together too. We also worked together in Santa Monica a while ago. She's a great girl. And yeah, she's doing really good on TV. There's another girl on her same show, Raquel Levies. Raquel also competed in our same pageant system.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thing. A lot of like pageant girls go on to do like, you know, sports entertainment or like hosting of some sort.
You have to be well spoken.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or you have to be an excellent storyteller at the very minimum, you know, to kind of get on TV or have an interesting story. And pageantry is always like,
so what was that like?
Yeah. Oh my God. Totally. I know. And like the pageant moments are like crazy. Like I remember when I was competing, there was this one year where this girl's bikini top like untied when she was on stage. It was wild.
Not the bikini top.
It was like picked up by TMZ too. I know. It was insane. I felt so bad for her.
That's amazing.
Also like she kind of got famous off of that. And people were wondering if it was like a stunt that she pulled.
Not a Janet Jackson.
Yeah. A Janet Jackson.
Well, not at the pageant.
Janet's wasn't her fault.
No, it was not.
So, and the world hated her for it. But
Girl. As
we know, the world and the media love to go after women, even when it isn't their fault, especially a black woman.
Here's the thing, Savannah. Not that this has become the celebrity gossip show, but we understand this, right? And we know that this is Justin Timberlake's fault.
Mm-hmm.
Why is everybody going to pretend like they don't know shit when he make an album announcement? Because you know it's coming. You know it's coming. People going to act like Janet, who? Watch
I
Savannah.
Know.
Not to say that everyone will be that way. Of course, there will be people on Twitter and making the threads and the, you know, we support Janet. But either way, that bitch going to be on Billboard. No shade, Justin. You're not a bitch. But his ass going to be on Billboard. You know what I'm saying?
1,000%.
How do we allow something like that to happen?
You know, I will say that I'm not surprised because the world has been letting JT get away with a lot.
Mm.
I'm not even getting.
We won't even get into Britney.
Exactly.
Because she's happy.
Exactly.
She's happy, so we don't even need to rehash that brown, okay?
This is why we're friends. This is literally, because you literally read my mind. We're not even going to get into all of that, okay? We're not. There is not enough time in this podcast for me and Courtney to talk about Britney Spears. That is a very serious situation to both of us. But JT wasn't always the kindest to Britney.
No, ma'am.
Not to her face, not in the media after they broke up. Mm. So it doesn't surprise me, you know. I actually talked about this to one of my friends that's a musician. Mm-hmm. And he was like, how come you don't like JT? Like, what's wrong? Like, I love him. Blah, blah. And I'm like, literally because Britney. Literally because Britney. Because I'm a girl's girl. That's why. Because I love Britney.
Yeah.
Regardless if she's batshit crazy. Because you know what? If I lived my life in the media and if I lived my life to entertain everybody, which I kind of do, but if I lived my life on the scale that Britney Spears does and cameras were following me around and I was getting screwed over by my parents and my family and my agents and my managers and everybody else in the world and everybody was trying to get something from me because they knew I was rich and successful, I would fucking go crazy too.
It's interesting. I would like to shout out the Deep Dive YouTube channel because while we were out in Manchester doing the circle, I watched this hour-long documentary on Britney with my chaperone. And literally there's footage of Britney, like, and you'll get this, like being followed by the paparazzi, like a swarm of people, but up Ventura.
No.
Years ago.
Ventura?
Ventura. And she's just like trying to get like her nails done or something. And it's just like a swarm of people.
Oh my
like,
God.
And I'm like, I could not imagine seeing that, knowing that that happened there.
That's her
ago.
Daily. That's her daily.
I could not imagine.
That's her daily for years.
So like, you know, a couple hate comments on the Twitter from Circle fans ain't really nothing when it's in person and they're swarming you and you can't hold your baby and you can't drive your car, have a credit card, or she had put on Instagram she couldn't even have no vodka.
The world did not do right by Britney Spears, I don't think.
Yes, but she's getting a second chance.
She is getting a second chance. Congratulations. Asghari. Congratulations to her for getting married.
To that fine ass man.
Fine. Fine. You know what? My girl has always had good taste. I mean,
yeah.
K-Fed was a bump in the road.
He's a little dusty. He's a little dusty.
He's just a little.
Shout out to Mr. Federline, though. We support you. If you take care of them babies. Yep.
We just want you to take care of the babies.
Do right by Britney.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't care about your rapping career. Is that still a thing?
Hell no. Hell no. Listeners, when the last time you heard of Kevin Federline being on the charts? Not never.
Not never. I think it was actually never.
Never. Never. We weren't even illegally downloading that on the Napster or the LimeWire.
Not the LimeWire.
None of it.
Oh my God. I remember I like ruined my family computer because
two of mine.
Two? Oh, Courtney.
My parents were not happy.
No, you're like, I just wanted to listen to Toxic.
I would download like full albums.
I just wanted to listen to
You know, my extra ass.
Sometimes I run.
Everyone see the Fire Island movie on Hulu because there is a Britney Spears moment in that film that if you're a Britney fan, it will light up your heart.
Mm. I
promise.
That. I love that.
I promise. It's about gays.
So I know we typically don't. We talk about reality TV here, but I just need to take a second to brag about my jacket because I thrifted it. I know that the Lakers obviously aren't in the finals, okay? I have eyes. I get it, okay? Because I know someone in the comments is going to be like, why are you wearing that? Because I like them. Because being a fan is cheering for someone even when they suck. And
I don't know nothing about that, y'all. Winners only.
I thrifted this jacket he was trying to sell it to me for $200 and I haggled because that's just what I do.
Come on, haggling, honey.
Because I live for a deal, okay?
As you should.
And I only had $100 cash on me. And I was like, will you take $100 cash? And after some back and forth, he agreed. I got the jacket. He got his $100.
Everybody won.
Yeah. Look at the back. Look at the back. Look at the back.
Look at this. You're a mess. Yes. Y'all, please tell Savannah her jacket is nice in the comments of this if you're watching
please
this
do.
On YouTube.
I would really, I need the positive affirmations and all of it.
Savannah, what age does reality TV stop for you? If at all?
What age is reality TV stop?
Are you trying to be, you know, 60?
You know what? What age does reality TV stop for you, Courtney?
Reality TV stops for me when the phone stops ringing.
Oh, okay.
So if it ring until I'm in the grave, then I'm going to be throwing drinks till I'm in the grave. If Eddie Cohen calling my ass and I'm 80, bitch, we'll roll my ass into the scene, bitch. I'll pull a fake leg out, too. Like, I don't care. As long as my phone ring, Courtney is saying, yeah, like Delisa, I will be there.
With the prosthetic.
Yeah, I will have a talk show girl on E! And be throwing a drink on a different network. Yes, ma'am.
Yep. I love it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like, to be honest with you, I don't know if I was made to be on reality TV.
I disagree, but continue. Tell us why.
I just think that I work so hard to, like, for my socials. Mm-hmm. And I'm able to have, like, a hand in my editing. And, like, I know how I act in front of a camera because I have to watch myself.
So much,
yeah. You know?
Same.
So I know how I am, and I just don't really feel like reality TV is there to make people look the way they look. Mm. Reality TV is there to alter who you are and make it so that it's, like, entertaining for people. Mm. And I never have a problem getting in, like, confronting people. It's very evident, like, in my own content. Like, I will always, like, speak up and have a voice and stuff. It's just mm-hmm. who I've always been. And I feel like on reality TV, that's just, like, not appreciated. For some reason, people have a problem with strong, well-spoken women on reality TV. Or at least maybe they just have a problem with me. You know?
I don't disagree to either point.
Oh, thanks.
But no, I think that some people just saw what they saw and they make their mind up and it is what it is.
And it's no fault to them. Like,
girl,
I get
it's a fault for me because I'm taking it personally because I know her I know her heart. Aww. And y'all need to cut the bullshit out.
Yeah.
But
what he said.
But I don't know. I think that you're a good reality personality because you don't care.
Yeah.
I think that's what, there's like two ends of the spectrum. You're either crazy and live for this shit.
Yeah.
Or you're like, please leave me alone. And I don't mean to bring him up, shout out to you, but I think of Chase from Too Hot to Handle when something like this comes up because Chase could walk away from this shit at any time and say, bitch, I'm gonna play football and have the bag secured and have my car and be that girl regardless.
Yeah.
And I feel like you could do the same thing. You could walk away I'll see you kicking with Miss Rihanna back as if none of this shit ever happened in the past 2 years.
Yeah, exactly.
And you would still be that girl.
I would still be doing what I'm doing.
Exactly.
TV didn't, like, put me in, like, a different, like, life. It introduced me to, like, a new sector in like the area that I was working already in. Like, now I'm, you know, getting to know, like, reality TV people, producers, like, all that stuff. But I was already, like, like an influencer. I was already doing content, you know. I was, like, already in beauty, already in lifestyle. So
she said I already was a it girl.
Like, I was waiting for you guys at the dough. I was waiting for you at the motherfucking dough.
I feel like I was like that, but in a smaller way. Like, you know what I mean? I always felt like I was Super Mario, although I prefer Luigi. Shout out to Luigi. Aww. But I felt like the circle was just kind of like my mushroom moment.
You've
like,
you always know what I mean? Been that girl. Thank I'll be you. Your Mario.
Thank you.
Because I'm shorter.
But for real, to be serious about my own question, I don't think I would do reality forever. I think that for me, I want to, like, own a business. Like, girl, I'm trying to be in a supermarket. You don't even know. And like I've said in the past, I want to do the voice acting thing. Bitch, I'm trying to be SpongeBob since I actually am. I can't drive. And I do see, like, I'm serious.
Yeah, you know, I know. That's so, it's just funny that you made that reference. I was like,
and, like, I do want eventually, like, a little talk show moment. That's always kind of been, like, you know, within my third eye. So,
yeah,
you know, I got work to do.
I think we are good for reality TV. We were not made to do solely reality TV.
No.
Yeah.
Too much out of my control with reality TV.
Too much out of my control and too many evil people. I feel like I like working in spaces where I can make good content that doesn't hurt anybody. And I don't know if producers have beating hearts.
Mm. Is that all producers, though?
Most of them, yeah. I think that if you are a producer...
Savannah said, I done met y'all, y'all asses. Y'all evil as hell.
I think if you're a reality TV show producer for, like, a love show or something, or, like, I don't know, something, like, hella dramatic. I just say love shows because I feel like those are the most dramatic, you know, like...
There's so much going on.
Right. Like, I think of, like, 90 Day Fiancé or some shit. You know, like, shit's always going down is what I'm saying. I feel like if you're a producer for those shows, you lack a heart. Like, you, there are some strings that are not attached in the heart. No,
so
I'm serious.
There's a disconnect.
No, I think, like, you kind of have to be to have that job, though. Mm-hmm. Because, like, you want to look at your talent as people, but they're also talent. They're also, like, you also are there to do your job
they're
as a producer.
Chess pieces. Like, exactly. You know what I mean? So nudge them in the direction they need to go.
Exactly. So, like, I mean, yeah, I don't know.
Savannah said, I got beef with y'all producers, and I ain't going to let the shit go.
Oh, I got beef. There's a...
She got the Kill Bill siren going off, y'all. Anytime someone say producer, she's like,
I said, ring the alarm. I've been doing this too long. Cause I'll be dead if I say another trick on y'all.
Girl, I just want to say this. And I don't know what time we're at, but I think this could be a good place to end. Do you know that Beyonce is coming?
Oh, I heard. I heard that Beyonce is coming.
Right before I shut these eyes and went to sleep, girl, the group chat got a chitter chattering.
Yeah, you're saying.
They said, hope your Beyonce fund is ready.
Yeah, I saw that.
I said, Jesus Christ. I said, not Beyonce about to take this good coin I just spent all this time making. I'd already bought the $50 damn box set, Pose 3, y'all.
No.
And I'm hoping that Beyonce is sneaking some concert tickets in there, girl. Either way, I'll be there.
I'm like, is it too late to be Blue's best friend? Blue Ivy? Girl. Where you at, girl?
I love Miss Blue Ivy. Oh, she the queen. Oh, yes, ma'am.
Blue, tell mommy to send me some tickets, please, Blue. Thanks.
Blue about to say, toodaloo, girl.
Blue said,
dig deep into your bank account.
Who are you? She like, who are you? And be like, Blue, no.
Bless Miss Blue. But I am excited for Beyonce to come. You know, every time she comes back, it's like culture shifting, you know? And yeah. I think that we will be seeing different strategies that are outside of TikTok once Beyonce comes back. Because Beyonce said, I'm sick of that shit. Them 2-minute little songs y'all putting out with them bullshit ass dances, we're good.
Yeah.
So hold on to your wigs. Better glue them down tight because Beyonce, a.k.a. Mother... She's here.
Yeah, I got to see that because I actually didn't go the year that she performed. Mm-hmm. And I regret it every day of my life.
Really?
Every day. That was the year that she brought out Destiny's Child. Mm-hmm. And they had like that big ass performance with that big ass stage. And I saw like all these TikTok videos, all these tweets, the FOMO is still very much there. Like, I think about that performance a lot, actually. Mm. Whenever I think about Beyonce, I think about how I wasn't there.
Listen.
And I'm like, I have to see. I wish I saw that.
It won't be the last time she do something big like that. The Renaissance is coming July 29th.
I'm ready.
So.
Take all my money. I will happily go into debt.
She already got some of mine, so.
Oh, okay. That's
already.
Good.
I said,
we'll be there together.
Before I go to sleep, Beyonce, just take $50.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's great. Mm. I'm so glad that you brought that up.
Yeah. A little Beyonce moment.
Yeah. I wasn't really ever part of the Bee Club. You've always been a part of the Beehive.
Of the Beehive, yeah.
Little Beehive.
You know, I really have a love for Beyonce. Now, am I deeply obsessed to the point where I'm going to fight someone online over Beyonce? No.
Yeah.
But will I spend my good coin and support the music and hopefully see her live? Yeah.
Of course.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't think there is any case in this world that has had either one of us go on someone's page and talk shit about them.
Girl, who has the time? Time is money. And that's what I'm trying to make.
Yeah.
So who has the time for that?
Yeah.
No, ma'am.
No, like Mike said in one of our previous episodes, like, if I'm saying it, I'll say it to your face. I'm saying it because I would say it to your
exactly,
face.
Exactly. Treat people how you would treat them in person or keep it on the playground. It's very simple.
Ooh, I like that. Keep it on the playground.
Keep it on the playground with the children.
Yeah, I like that. Keep it on the playground. <That's> silly. Okay, so we just decided 5 minutes ago that we're going to change the name of our game from... friend bestie dead to me to Kiss, Marry, Avoid.
Kiss, Marry, Avoid.
I feel like it's a little more clear, mm-hmm. a little more, you know, concise.
Ooh.
And so with that, Courtney, Kiss, Marry, Avoid, we got Harry from Team Too Hot to Handle.
Okay.
Mario from the content creators team.
Mm-hmm.
And the lava.
All right. I think I would marry Harry because he is nice to me. And he said I had a fat ass at the Netflix reality games. And that's like such a high compliment for me that I was like, oh, my God, what a gentleman. I would kiss Mario because he's a human. Shout out to you, Mario Selman. And he's nice. He has like good fashion sense. So I can appreciate that. I could kiss a man with good fashion sense. And what is it? What's the last one?
Kill? Avoid.
Well, I'm going to avoid the lava because I can't breathe in that. As I screamed when I came up out of it on the show. I can't breathe. That was me coming up out of lava. No lie, y'all. Couldn't breathe.
No, literally, it got like in my nostrils and everything.
Yeah, I couldn't.
It was like in every hole. I was like, am I supposed to have lava in these places right now? Because it feels real awkward. Like, I'm telling you guys, that shit was in my butt crack.
It was something. Yeah. Something else. Something else.
Okay, Kiss, Marry, Avoid. I would say that I would give Mario a... It's hard. That's hard because Mario said I was slaying in the show, and Harry also said I looked really good.
Ooh.
So I want to be really nice to both of them. Because I was like, yeah, you guys are right.
Well, which one do you want to spend the rest of your life with?
I don't really know either one of them like really well, but I feel like Mario would be someone so fun to like hang out with, and like he just seems like such a good like energy. He was so funny on the show and so cute. Even when he got on the little thing, he was like, hey, he seems so cute. So Mario, I'm gonna marry you. I hope you don't mind. I know you're gay, but we can make it work.
Yeah.
I guess I would kiss Harry because I don't want to kiss the lava. But he's kind of kissed everyone, so I would need him to get tested before. And then I would like to avoid the lava because I already know what that's like. And not saying that I wouldn't want to do it again, but that's just not somewhere where I want to end up again.
I feel that.
So
I feel that personally.
I think everybody that's fallen into that lava would agree.
Uh-uh. Well, you guys, that is it for this episode of Homecoming Queens. Make sure to follow us on social media. I am Court Revolution on TikTok and Twitter, and Courtney Revolution on Instagram.
And you can send compliments of this jacket to @SavPalacio on Instagram and TikTok.
Make sure that you follow us also on TikTok and Instagram @HomecomingQueensPod.
I'm so sorry, I forgot to say that, but yes, thank you. Awesome. Watch every episode of Homecoming Queens on Homecoming Queens YouTube channel or us on your favorite podcast app. Rate, review, and subscribe. You know what to do. Bye.
Bye.
Homecoming Queens is part of the Eve Podcast Network and a Forever Dog production. Executive producer, Tracy Soren. Producer, Clementine Yost. Development executive, Mariah Nicholas. Engineer and editor, Sebastian Portuondo. Theme song by Will Pitts. Cover photo by Stephanie Sayas. Forever Dog Productions is Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Bowen.